Hello, everyone. Welcome to Beyond Sunday at Bethlehem, a podcast created to go beyond the Sunday service experience at Bethlehem Church, exploring some of the deeper questions of our faith, offering additional content from behind the scenes from the cutting room floor. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Angela Buckland, and as always, I am beyond excited to host today's episode. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Beyond Sunday. Today is really special. We are highlighting one of our care groups. I've got some good friends on this podcast episode, and we are highlighting one of our care groups, which is a postpartum support group for moms with young children. This is just in time for Mother's Day, so we're super honored to have this group with us here today on Beyond Sunday. I've got my friend Kayla Hart, who co-leads with Amber Blunt. Super excited. And then we also have Pastor Jeffrey Wright on the podcast this morning. So Jeffrey, you're one of our pastors on staff, and you're also knee deep in the toddler season.
Yeah. My wife is 4 months pregnant, 5 months pregnant now, expecting our third. I also have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. So I was doing the math. In the past 48 months, my wife will have been pregnant for 27 of them.
Wow.
So we're just in it right now.
Yeah.
And so hopefully I'm going to listen a lot today because we're about to go back through this. And I'm also going to throw in some questions just for the husbands to listen and maybe learn, you know, what we can do in the season.
Yeah. And you also recently wrote a blog post for our church blog on caring for your wife postpartum.
Yeah.
And that was really a great resource. So welcome to the podcast. Super
excited
honored
to be
here. Have you guys here on Beyond Sunday. So Kayla, tell us a little bit about this group that you guys lead and what inspired you to start this group?
Well, I think the group started when I had just had my fourth baby.
Yeah.
And the idea started. I had texted you right as we came out, because my husband wasn't with me. I came out of the pediatrician's office for one of those newborn checkups they make you go to almost every day, it seems like. So I was like, wow, this would have been really, really, really hard, you know, for a first-time mom.
Yeah.
And because I can't remember that far back. I have four kids and from 10 to 1.5. So I was like, there's no group like this at church. I would love to be a part of this group. I wish somebody would start it. You know, why don't we have this? And then I thought, well, why can't I do it? Yeah. Like, you know, I have the cred. I have four kids. I could do this. So I text you, I think. Yep. And I was like, she's going to say no. It's not going to work out. And then almost immediately you were like, let's do it. And then childcare was a big issue because I knew a lot of the moms would need that. And I think at this point we have 28 or 30 kids.
Wow.
In childcare on Sunday night. So
with this group.
Thank you, Mary, and all the ladies who work in the nursery.
Yes.
But I just think it's really important to have that support and that community.
Yeah.
And that transitory period between, you know, being pregnant and then being a mom.
Yes.
Or, you know, being pregnant and then being a mom already with like two or three kids or one. Yep. It's hard.
Yeah. So how many kids do you have, Kayla?
I have four.
Yeah.
So
and what are the ages?
10, 5, 3.5, and 1.5.
Wow.
So it's been a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so glad that I can be a part that this church can host us.
Yeah.
And we have this amazing community in our group. Then,
well, and part of the reason why we wanted to kind of highlight this group as groups are ending and kind of finishing up, wrapping up this week, actually. So we wanted to highlight this group because of the response that we've seen with the mothers that have joined your group. And, you know, you've done this for 3 semesters.
Mm-hmm.
You've hosted this group for 3 semesters and we've seen it grow over time. And just the response that we've seen, it is needed, it is necessary, and it is such a blessing to our moms at Bethlehem.
Right, I agree.
Amber, tell us a little bit about how you got involved with the group and a little bit about yourself, how many kids you have.
Yeah, so I started coming to this group last semester, and Kayla and I became really close. And then this semester, I wasn't planning on leading, and she reached out and said that she needed help, and God was really pushing on my heart. I'm really trying hard to be obedient to everything he calls me to be. Yep. And I was like, you know what? I felt like I wasn't qualified because, yeah. I mean, I have three children. I have 7.5, 5.5, and an almost 3-year-old next week. And
all right.
I thought, you know, I'm still trying to navigate these waters. I'm maybe not yeah. super postpartum, but I have three kids and the postpartum period can last. It mm-hmm. really, I mean, you've had children. You are past the partum period of time. So, yeah, I yeah. mean, almost till they're 18 if you want to. I mean,
so that means I'm still in.
Sometimes it never ends.
The hormones may never go back to normal. But, you know, it's been a blessing to have these women who we all share the purpose together yeah. of just pointing each other to Christ and to pray for one another. And yeah. I mean, I need this. And it's helped create so many relationships that I would not otherwise be able to form. And we get vulnerable with each other. And yeah. It's really amazing. And you learn a lot about yourself. And I really love it. I really do.
We laugh, we cry. But I think yeah. Amber said something, mm-hmm. obedience. Mm-hmm. It's in beginning this group, it's like I was just being obedient to the Holy Spirit and just yeah. saying, okay, I guess I'll do it. And I think that you probably feel the same way when yeah. I asked you to co-lead. It's just that obedience. Just
it's nerve-wracking. It's like I was already wrestling with it in my heart. Like, I wonder if Kayla needs help because, you know, last semester you led it with somebody else. And mm-hmm. this semester you were doing it by yourself. And I was like, man, I wonder if she is going to need help. You have a lot on your plate, you know? And I was like going back and forth. And then when you asked me, I was just like, click. All right, God, I'll surrender. All right, okay. I'll do it. I'm here. And, you know, sometimes I even wrestle. I'm like, I'm not prepared for this. But, you know, it's one of those things where God gives me the right things to say at the right time to these ladies.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
we went from 5 people to like 18
yeah
this semester,
so a lot of ladies. It's a big room.
It was overwhelming yeah. but amazing to yeah. see right. God working, and these people, the ladies keep showing up.
They're so coming back.
Yeah. It's helpful,
and I want to commend y'all. It's what makes Bethlehem Church Bethlehem Church, which is you feel a prompt from God, and a lot of times people go, man, somebody should do that, and somebody else, and y'all yeah. said, hey yeah. somebody should do that. Why? Maybe God wants me to.
Yeah, I love it.
It's a really yeah. cool, yes. really cool story. And there's so many places in our church where that story's played out. So
yes. Really, yes. Really and cool. if anyone could have an excuse or valid reasons to not lead a group, it would be two moms with young children at home.
Absolutely.
So I just, yes, echoing what Jeffrey said, commending you both for, you know, for taking that step of obedience, even when you could easily say, oh, maybe not this season, or mm-hmm. maybe not now. And Kayla, I know you and I have talked about that. Every season, it's like a, Lord, do I do this again? Do I step up? Do I take this challenge on again? I do it too. Like, and my kids are teenagers, but every season, I remember I was not going to lead a group this past semester, and I got convicted. I remember talking to another woman in a similar season of life, and she just continues to lead every semester. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'll do it. So yeah, just that step of obedience is it's inspiring and encouraging and also challenging. So talk about some of those challenges that you've experienced in the group, and kind of what women experience in general when they're walking through this postpartum season of life.
Whoa, that's a lot. How much time do you have?
Yeah.
So I think, so when I started research, I'm a researcher and I have a bachelor's in anthropology. So I was like, okay. So I started looking at, you know, the research into motherhood and that transition. And there wasn't much, but I found a term called matrescence. And it was coined by a medical anthropologist in the 70s. And it's that transitory period between, like, you know, pregnancy and motherhood.
Yeah.
Almost like adolescence. Yeah. It is a transitory period.
I have to stop and also say that Amber and Kayla are both homeschool moms.
So this is,
we're getting educated while we're also talking about motherhood. So go for it.
Right. So I just wanted to, what was the question?
I interrupted you. About the challenges, the matrescence, you were talking
yes.
about that.
So, in that, there's so much involved in it.
Yeah.
Because you're going through hormonal stuff, you got
emotional,
some physical stuff going on.
Yeah. You feel like Jeffrey, you said it, you feel like your wife felt like she wasn't in her own body.
Exactly.
Yeah, she didn't recognize herself in the mirror.
And body image, in that you have social media that plays a huge part. Yeah. Like
dangerous
in comparisonitis. You have. You know, I didn't bounce back like so-and-so did on here.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is difficult. And to that, I would say get off social media for that time period because it's not helpful.
It's so isolating.
Yeah.
And the internet is not your village. Yeah. So I learned that a little later on because I was racked with anxiety and postpartum depression. And like you were saying, your wife fell out of her body. That's how I felt. And sometimes that's how I still feel. Mm-hmm. And it's just everything changes.
Yeah.
Everything changes. Your relationship with your spouse changes.
With your family members.
Yes. And the one thing I thought that would happen immediately after I gave birth the first time was that I would have this village, then this community that would just show up and they're there and here they are.
On the doorstep with casseroles.
Exactly. And that doesn't happen unless you put effort into making that happen, make those relationships and that community, you know, especially with church people and, you know, the community here is countercultural because the world is saying, you know, you do it on your own.
Yeah.
You'll be good. Just be independent. But, you know, groups and church community, it's the antithesis of that.
Yeah, God doesn't call us to do this alone at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not seeking friends in the right places, then you're really going to fall short. Because when you're seeking friends or old friends, you know, from your past before children, then that may not be the best environment for you.
Right.
But when you reach out to church, when you reach out to good friends, we talk about that a lot in the book we're reading in the group as well. It's just, you know, kind of have to get a little awkward and you have to just kind of almost like friend date, you know, put yourself out there and try to make friends because if you don't, you know, you're going to be alone and it's isolating because you are home and then you're worried that your kids are going to catch germs if you go to this place or that place. And there's a lot of anxiety that comes with early motherhood. And, you know, you just kind of have to step out of the box and, meet people who you wouldn't normally be friends with and then blossom the relationships and put a lot of effort into it.
Well, Amber, and I know you've talked about biblical community too, like the importance of that. And the whole point of biblical community is to help us become disciples of Christ, become Christ followers that look like Jesus, you know, and so then that's what we're to do. And then our children, you know, teach our children to do that as well.
I want to come back and ask a question because I watched my wife walk through this a bit and I talked to her before we recorded and I said, hey, can I share? And she said, yeah, it's totally fine. She has struggled in the past with anxiety, depression types of things, done counseling, all sorts of stuff. And before we had our first, she very wisely said, she said, it's going to be winter. I'm going to have a new baby. I'm going to be postpartum. There's going to be a lot going on. I know I'm going to need some counseling. Like, absolutely. And so she did it. But are there any indicators or anything that like is a red flag of like, maybe you need to raise your hand and ask for a little extra help or ask that maybe you have a history with that or something. But like, I know this season in particular with the hormones, with everything else going on, and the schedule changes at all, and then you're not sleeping, is really challenging. Are there any things that's like, hey, you might need to take an extra step and raise your hand a bit in this season? Is there anything y'all have seen or noticed as you talk with other moms on that?
That's a good question. I think that for me, it was anger. It was the fact that I needed some help. I needed some counseling. And sometimes you need medication from, you know, and that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. There's no stigma around that. But I mean, there is a stigma, but
it's unfortunate.
You know, that's sometimes we need help. We need a little help. And we're, as a group, we're not counselors, right? So I think for me, it was having my husband asking me questions. And I'm like, you know, snapping and just say, okay, you do it. You know, that's a sign right there that there's something going on. There's an underlying issue that maybe we're not, you know, in this age of independence, we're supposed to just bottle it up. Mm-hmm. But really, they need somebody to sit down and ask, what do you need?
Yeah.
Are you okay? Yeah. How can I help you?
Right.
And although it doesn't usually play out that way, it should. And that's a sign that, husbands, if you're listening, if your wife is doing this stuff, ask her.
What can I do? Like, if you guys are fighting, if it's an issue in the home, like, just say, like, How can I help you? Like, mm-hmm. give her a break. Like, take the kids outside and tell her to go, I don't know, take a bath, go take a nap. Just yeah. sit in the silence because, you know, it's really a mind game and it can be overwhelming.
Do the dishes.
Yeah.
That's what I, if my husband's listening, do the dishes, please.
Acts of service go a long way mm-hmm. when you have children. Like, your love languages change after kids. Mm-hmm. And it's just, your needs are met. And a lot of times when you're a new mom, you don't realize what your needs are. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah. oh, wow, I do need a good night's sleep.
Hmm. Right. And you are being pulled in so many different directions right. that it can be a challenge to really know what you need mm-hmm. In that moment, too, because you are focusing on so many other needs that it can be difficult to name that, like, this is what I need.
And that's why this group is so important.
Yes.
Because there's that community that we're talking about, having right. women there that are going through similar.
Mm. Yes.
I mean, we all had a baby, right? So we share that in common and we're dealing with that stuff. So
that's right.
Saying, is this normal? And that's when we say you might need to reach out to somebody, you know, mm-hmm. A pastor or
counselor
or something like that. And that helps. It helps us holding people accountable and ourselves too.
Yeah. And letting people know that they're not alone and they're not crazy, that they're not
exactly
because they may feel that way. But this is so what you ladies are describing is very common mm-hmm. for moms mm-hmm. to, you know, feel just wow. Yeah. Overwhelmed mm-hmm. and irritated and all the things.
And we have a couple of single moms in mm-hmm. our group too that mm-hmm. are postpartum. So, you know, they can help support each other in that. We say husbands, but it's not always husbands. Sometimes it's mom. Sometimes
mother-in-law.
Your mom or your dad or your cousin or those are the people helping you.
Yeah.
So that's important to recognize.
That's good. So both of you can both speak into this, but you talk a little bit about the book that you're reading as a group or that you've read through this semester, Jenny Allen's Find Your People. And some takeaways that you guys have learned from that book.
Yeah. So Bethany Dixon, the co-leader from last semester. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, we Bethany. Love Bethany. Hey, Bethany.
Shout out. She's the one who suggested the book. And I started reading it and I was like, wow, this is exactly what we need for this group. It gives us some structure. Because Amber's the organized person and I'm the unstructured.
Yes.
It's been amazing because Jenny Allen really talks about how to find your people, how to find the village mm-hmm. that we're all seeking, that mm-hmm. it doesn't just appear. It takes work. It takes, you know, investing in relationships and,
self-reflection's been the biggest thing that I've learned through her book.
Mm. Well, there's a verse in there is iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17, I think. That's right.
Okay.
It's been kind of my verse of the semester because it's talking about accountability and helping each other, like, you know, holding people accountable and sharpening each other, making each other better and more aware. And like you said, we're not crazy.
Yeah.
We're all in it. Together, you know, we're helping each other. We're making meals for each other. One of the ladies dropped crumble cookies off at my doorstep the other day.
God bless her. God bless that woman.
And I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Wow.
You know, this is community. This is what we were meant for, what God designed us for. Hmm. And we loosely follow. We have
guides our conversations
that's
a little
good.
Bit.
It does.
And that's the point.
We have conversation cards. And mm-hmm. I do try to keep us on track, but often we have workbook. I have a workbook, like a book, what is it called? Book club type workbook.
Okay.
So I use a few questions from that to kind of get us started.
Yeah.
And it's really been a blessing.
Yeah.
The whole book is just, if you're not going to join the postpartum small group, I suggest you read the book.
Yeah.
If you're looking for community.
I've heard great things about it.
in a village.
Yeah.
So I heard a Mother's Day message when I was a kid, and for some reason it always stuck with me. It was on the monsters of motherhood, and one of them was it's incredibly isolating. Mm-hmm. And I've watched that with my wife. We're like, you know, you got two kids at home, and it's just plain hard to get out of the house. Like the amount of effort required. And she has found her people, right? And she's not part of y'all's group, but she'd love to be. But she's very intentionally put things on the calendar during the week with other moms and with other people. Mm-hmm. And what that has done for her has been so huge. So this is another avenue to do that, which is really, really, really good.
So what, in a nutshell, ladies, what do moms need to know? What do they need to know most during this season, this postpartum season? Any advice or encouragement?
I would say you're not alone.
You're
not supposed to go through it alone. Mm-hmm. And if you need help, just say something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to your spouse or your family or your church family. Mm-hmm. You know, we're here for you.
Absolutely.
I'd say seek wise counsel. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, it's not social media, and it's not.
Amen, Amber.
And you know,
stop that again,
right
from the rooftop.
It's not reaching out to your friend who just you need validation. Mm-hmm, it's like you need somebody who you can trust that's going to call you out
or speak biblical truth,
right? Yeah. And it's a matter of in this book she talks about making sure that you are, you know, finding friends that are pointing you to Christ, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. not of, you know, things that are going to keep you where you are. It's always about getting yourself better and, you know, making good friends at the right places and even where you're already at. Like if you've got kids in sports, see if you have any positive relationships there.
Yeah.
The gym, see if you can find positive relationships there. You don't have to, you know, do things that you're not comfortable with, but it's just kind of like polish the relationships that you have and see if that can go anywhere,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And help you and just keeping each other accountable, I think.
Yeah.
Well, she talks about logging hours with people too. And what did she say? 200 hours is a good friend. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. considered like a best friend or something when you log 200 hours and be intentional. And put things on the calendar. Make time, space to...
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's inconvenient.
To form those relationships.
It's like what I was saying, you know, you're kind of like having to date to find friends. It's like, all right, I'm going to plan a play date when it's going on the calendar. And we're going to, rain or shine, we're going to get together. Mm-hmm. And we're going to let our kids play.
Amber.
They can destroy the house.
Yeah.
But we're going to get together and we're going...
Yeah.
We're just, you have to do that or else it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about being intentional and having that shared purpose of, you know, wanting to have the deep relationships and going beyond just the shallow conversations of, I'm fine. I'm good. Everything's good.
Yeah.
You know, how's you?
Yeah.
How's the baby? We're good.
Yeah.
Like, you got to go past that and be like,
but really, how are you?
Really?
Yeah.
How are things?
I liken it to, I often hear, moms talk about that, like how difficult it is to make those plans and to do that. But it's like when you go on vacation and the idea and the getting ready for going and doing it is so, it's like, it's Herculean. It feels exhausting to even think about.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you get there, it's like, this is so good.
Yes,
this is so worth it.
That's how my play dates are, my friend.
Yes.
Like, all right, we had to.
It's like a little mini vacay.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Well, I think
getting everybody in the car and everybody's bag packed.
Yep.
But here we are.
Yes.
We're ready to destroy your house.
But we'll help you clean it up.
Yes.
I think that it's just putting it on the calendar and showing up.
Yeah.
And just show up. And I think it just goes from there. Like you said, it's I showed up. What about the next time? I could do this again.
Yeah.
You know? So.
That's great.
And don't worry about cleaning your house.
Yeah.
We all know our houses are a disaster.
That's
and
right.
They're going to be a disaster.
Don't apologize for the state of your house.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know it's social media, but there was this one funny video. It was like, if everybody just left their houses a wreck, like, let's do this. Let's go ahead.
Normalize.
Normalize everyone's houses looking crazy. And then we'll all just be in the same boat. And no one will have that unrealistic expectation.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask y'all along with this, what's something like one or two things, maybe it's personal, or maybe you've seen in the group that surprised you or taking you off guard, like moms didn't see coming when it comes to that postpartum season. What took you off guard? What did you not see coming?
I'm curious.
One thing I didn't see coming was I just kind of thought that my husband would know what to do. I kind of thought that he would know, and he didn't.
We don't.
And it was like, I thought, well, I knew he wasn't going to be a master, but I thought that maybe he would. We've been together for so long before we got married, and then we were together for so long before we had kids. So I thought he knew me well enough. And when I was just like, what? Like, you can't read my mind? Like, what are you
even
thinking?
That's so true. And that goes, I mean, I thought the same thing. In addition to physical stuff, that's for like a closed conversation probably. But I thought my husband would just know that I need help.
Yes.
And even when I asked for it, like, he would know what I meant, right? Like, go do the dishes. Sentence,
can you help me? I thought he could. No.
Yeah. So just I think communication is key in that, like with your spouse or whoever that you're, you know, your mom or family. But I think communication and being direct about it, what you need, lay it out exactly what I need you to do, all the dishes, put them away. Thank you. Or I need a shower. Yeah. I need time, you know, 30 minutes. By myself.
Yeah.
Be specific.
Yes.
Because people can't read minds, and especially husbands, they can't read your mind. So
especially. Yes, especially.
Be specific. That's what I've learned to do. Mm-hmm. I've been married 10 years, I guess, but and it also changes if you have, you know, neurotypical husbands and neurodivergent husbands.
Right.
So it's be specific, and that covers all your bases.
I love it.
I also say, you know, lower your expectations, but also it's kind of like change your expectations because
adjust
your expectations, because with multiple children or just having one versus two versus three, I mean, it all changes now you go from just being like one-on-one to you got two-on-one. Now you're just like defense mode, you know, with your kids, and you're like, you tackle these two kids, I got this kid. You know, you're outnumbered at some point, and you know, you just kind of have to communicate. You know, sometimes it's not even nonverbal communication with your husband. Just being like, okay, you know, figure out what to do with the kids.
That goes with your other kids too. Be specific them because
get them to help.
They can't read your mind either. They're little spongy brains.
Jeffrey, I'm kind of piggybacking off of that. You know, I always appreciate your voice on these types of issues. So what do husbands need to know?
We need a lot. We're going to be honest.
As a dad who is currently in this season.
In it. And y'all actually asked me to write the blog on how to care for your wife,
which we are going to link in the show notes because it is such a good blog post. So,
and so I don't want to rehash too much of that. I did stare at a blank Word document for quite some time because it is just such a blur. Couple thoughts and really dovetailing off what y'all just said. First, you have to relearn your spouse almost every baby. A friend of mine gave me that nugget of wisdom right when we started having kids, that like every baby, things just change a little bit. And what your spouse, what your wife needs is just different. And so I figured out in the two kids, it's acts of service now because there's just so much housework and so dishes and everything else. And so I had to relearn, what does Shelby need? What does Shelby want? And and ask clarifying questions. It's you should ask, or you should communicate what you need, but you should also, as a husband, be able to ask, hey, what do you need? Okay, what do you mean by clean the dishes? Are you just talking about the dishes in the sink? Do you want me, like, you can ask those things, right?
Yeah. So clean the whole kitchen.
Bathroom. And if in doubt, just keep cleaning until you can't find anything left to clean. So I had to relearn Shelby and anticipate having to do that again here in a few months. I think it's stereotypical, but men just don't necessarily know what to do with a baby. I don't know if that's
cultural.
I don't know if that's like typically women have babysat and men have not.
True.
But like, I just didn't know. It's what's really cool. I was reading an article the other day that like millennial dads are changing way more diapers than older dads.
Praise the Lord.
What I took from that, and as I thought about it in my own experience, I initially got caught on all the things I couldn't do. Mm. I can't nurse the baby. I can't take care of the baby during the day. I'm at work or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But don't let what you can't do keep you from doing what you can do.
Amen.
I can't nurse the baby at night, but can I get up and bring the baby to my wife? Simple things mm-hmm, like that.
Yeah.
But and that's true in faith and money and so many places you get caught on what you can't do. Well, what can you do?
Mm-hmm,
and so looking for that kind of stuff has made a difference for Shelby and I. And then the last one, another friend of mine gave me a piece of advice his dad actually gave him, which was, if something in parenting is driving you nuts, just hang on. It'll change.
Yeah.
And if you're loving something in parenting, enjoy it because it's going to change. And
yeah.
So like this season feels so long and it's not, it is and it's not. And so like things just change pretty quickly with kids. And so mm-hmm. soak up the stuff you're enjoying. When they have a funny giggle, get them to do it a lot because it goes away real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And my son would call our crock pot the Okada because that's the sound it made when we turned it on. He doesn't do that anymore. And so we realized we were like, oh my gosh, that's that the Okada, it's gone.
That's awesome.
So like
he
soak
created
that
his
up.
Own language.
And then on the other side, he's waking up at 5:30. Let's pick that one. There's a lot of stories. He's waking up at 5:30 almost every morning. We're on a run right now. And that's wearing us out. And in time that's gonna change. So just hang on, dads. It does change really, really quickly. But the whole blog's in the show notes. And,
yep.
It is a journey. You don't know what to do. That's kind of part of it. And you learn along the way. And so give truckloads of grace to each other as spouses, because it's just, she doesn't know and you don't know. And
nobody
knows. And by the time you figure it out, they're in a new stage anyway.
Yeah.
And so it's a blessing, but it's also very difficult.
You could buy paper plates and that's okay.
Amen.
And that eliminates some
Amen.
Dishes.
There you go.
There you
right?
go.
That's
go.
My
right.
trick.
Yeah.
And I feel guilty about it sometimes, but I go to Costco and get the paper plates and then dishes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What would you want if you could tell every man who's a husband of a wife who just gave birth, what would you want to tell them? You guys are sitting with these women in small group where they're probably pretty honest.
Remember, this is a church audience.
Yeah, it's a church audience.
Remember,
but
there's a confidentiality clause there.
Nice.
No. So I would say, for me, this is just me, okay?
Yeah.
My husband, I love him, but he never got up with the baby because I bed shared, co-slept, because mm-hmm. I needed to sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
So
same.
I would just nurse.
Same.
But I was always thirsty and always hungry.
Mm-hmm. Get her snack.
So snack and sushi and lots of water.
Oh, yeah. See, that's simple
sushi.
And that's practical. I love that, Kayla.
For basic
chocolate too.
Yeah.
Worldly needs. I would say, you know her best. Husbands know their wife's best.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like push her and tell, and number one, pray for her. Also, encourage her to seek friends. And you know your wife, you know her friends. And if you're looking and you're thinking your wife doesn't have a lot of friends, make it possible for her to seek friends. Help her be like, hey, you know what? You want to run and get your nails done? You nurse the baby before you go. You got, 2 hours before the baby needs to feed again? Let her go for 2 hours.
Mm.
And you know what? Don't make her feel anxious while she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Do not text her 10,000 things. That, you know, don't let her relax and let her go and make it possible for her to get these friends so that she can create her village, you know, and encourage her to join small groups and encourage her to seek out women in the church and to just do and serve. You know, you can even serve in the nursery alongside your own children. I do that. And that makes a big difference and can help women feel comfortable at church is to get involved with children's ministry. And then you're seeing firsthand your kids worshiping God. And then you also can just get the opportunity to meet other mothers and other parents. And that has helped because at first my daughter did not like going to the kids ministry at all. Man, she put up a fight. And then I served in her class. And that was a miracle.
And I love that, Jeffrey, that you put that in the blog, that getting, you know, check your kids into kids ministry. By getting involved in kids ministry, you see how loved your kids are by our children's ministry staff, and just that they're in a great place. That's the best place they can be, really. While you're at church, you get to worship, they get to worship, and they're learning about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So love that that's in your blog, and that's also, that's a priority.
Yeah,
here.
And some women struggle with that because they are like, I'm not quite ready to leave my baby. And you know what? That's 100% okay. I 100% get that. Mm-hmm. And I encourage you, if you're in that season where you're too scared to leave your kids, that is normal. I also say that, like, you can, if you're in that fear, you don't have to stay in that fear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can go and serve and mm-hmm. take your baby with you and really get to know who's going to be in the room.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. like, I serve the 9:30 service in the 2-year-old room, and then I attend the 11:15. And so I leave my daughter. I serve alongside my 3-year-old, mm-hmm. well, almost 3, she's 2. And then I leave her, and mm-hmm. she's fine now. In the beginning, she pitched a fit, but now she loves it. Yeah. She loves
it. It's hard at first. I think for me, it was a lot of anxiety. I didn't check my kids, and I just wouldn't come.
Yeah.
And I think that has a lot to, like, I would just watch it online, but it's not quite the same.
Sure.
And that's wonderful that that's
we
available.
Have that option. Yeah.
And
yeah.
that there's, you know, the lounge or the where you can nurse your baby.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I think join a group, join a small group.
Yeah.
That'll get you with that community
right.
that you need.
Yeah.
And I think Jeffrey wrote in his blog also, tell your wife she's beautiful.
Yes.
And I think some of us, you know, we kind of shy away like, oh, no, I can't be. Yeah. But you are.
Yeah.
You're a daughter of the king.
That's right.
And
beautiful.
I think you need
out.
To be reminded of that. And like Amber said, pray, praying, mm-hmm. pray. Mm-hmm. Pray for your husband and pray for your kids and pray for yourself. I had there's a lady in one of our groups. She said, I don't pray for myself because I just don't, you know,
don't
she
know
just does
need.
It.
Sometimes you don't know what your needs are.
We make sure she's prayed for. And having friends that will pray for you, having a spouse that will pray for you, pray with you.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, you ask, what could you do as a husband? Pray with your wife. Say, mm-hmm. hey, let's pray together.
Pray out loud.
And it's powerful. Yes. It's humbling, too. Yeah.
So good.
I'm going to put you all on the spot. Are you coming back for another semester, next semester in this group?
I think so. Being obedient has been, I think so.
Every semester, you got to, like, go
So
go
how do
that.
People find the group come August when we launch back?
Yeah. We will actually have that on the groups page. And the name of the group, what is the official name?
Postpartum Care and Support. It's like care group.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Postpartum care and Support Group. It is listed as one of our care groups on the groups page.
Mm-hmm.
So, so we'll actually include that link just to kind of, you know, let people know more information about the group, even though groups are closing, getting ready to come to an end. Yeah. Do you guys meet during the summer at all? Do you guys like have anything
we
planned?
Don't have anything concrete
we don't
yet.
But we have been tossing around, I don't know if it's we yet, I have been tossing around this idea, and I thought you telepathically would understand.
I'm on your wavelength. Yeah, okay. I think it would still be fun. Yeah. It's hard with vacations and all that kind of thing.
And then the childcare thing.
Yeah, there's no childcare. So it would have to be like mom-friendly, kid-friendly.
Yeah. Even like a once a month, I know a lot of groups, like they take a break during the summertime, but like a, you know, so once a month and, or a play date kind of thing, you know, for the moms to get together.
Yeah, I'd say reach out to us still and we can, you know, add you to the chat and we can figure out a way to maybe meet up over the summer and stuff because it's awesome to get your kids together.
Yeah.
You know, kids
even
need
if
friends
we,
and moms need friends.
If we just need to do like, I've met with people one-on-one.
Texting buddy makes a big difference.
Yes. And we started doing buddy pairs. Mm-hmm. So we would pair with
That's
another
awesome.
Person in the group and we would, you know, get to know each other and
That's fantastic. That's
text back
idea.
And forth and kind of be that support person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know this group is needed. So
yes,
I know people,
is.
It doesn't, you know, it doesn't stop in
That's
the summer.
Right.
So
That's right. I love that. Well, thank you both for leading this group. For your passion, for your obedience, for leading this group and making it available for the women in our church, for the moms that are in this challenging season of life, to let them know they're not alone and that God loves them and has a plan for them. So, Jeffrey, thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us. And to all of our moms listening, happy Mother's Day. We love you. We are here for you. Please reach out to us and let us know how we can connect you to the right group, to the right ministry. We love you and we are here for you. God bless. Happy Mother's Day. And we will see you next time on Beyond Sunday.